Welcome to another edition of the Gospel Mailbox. I'm Donnie Barrasin. And as always, if you want to get in touch with us at the Gospel Mailbox, you can contact us via the internet, www.gospelmailbox.org, or you can call me on my cell phone, 423-544-0623, or you can write us via post, the Gospel Mailbox, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37409. Well, we are continuing on with our series on Psalms 119. And we're on session number 3 of our series. And as I've mentioned before, Psalms 119 is actually an acrostic. And it's based on the Hebrew alphabet, not the English alphabet, because the Bible was written primarily in, the Old Testament was written primarily in Hebrew. And the section that we're on, the two sections we're on tonight, is starts with the 89th verse, and it's the Hebrew letter Lamed. And also, too, we're going to take the Hebrew letter Mem section, which starts in verse 97. The section that is taken from the Hebrew letter Lamed, goes from 89 to 96, and it reads, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my affliction. I never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad." I want to stop and let us think for a minute on that phrase in the 89th verse. Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy word is settled in heaven. And what exactly does that mean about God's word is settled in heaven? Well, I want us to consider one aspect of that God's word is settled in heaven. You know, the psalmist elsewhere said in Psalms 33 and 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." And also too in another Psalms, in Psalm 19, 1 through 4, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun." And I want us to stop and consider and contemplate how the natural creation and all its beauty, and all its intricacies, and all of the things that make it where it could have only been one way, and there be life on this planet. And we talk about what's called general revelation, and that's what we in the Christian church consider natural sciences to be general revelation. And when we look at the evidence, the information, we see that the the fine tune of the universe and how it had to exist in a certain way indicates this, the divine knowledge of God and the design of God. See, we know from natural science, from just looking at the universe, how that if the earth had been, a little closer to the sun, it could have ended up like Venus. And the surface of Venus, if memory serves me correctly, at the surface temperature of Venus is about 800 degrees. And the pressure inside of Venus is enough to where it would absolutely crush. There's more pressure on the surface of Venus than they are at the bottom of our oceans. And if the Earth had not been placed exactly where it was placed at, we would have ended up, we could have easily ended up just like the planet Venus. And it wouldn't have sustained the life that exists on this planet. If the Earth had been placed in the orbit that Mars is in, the brutal cold that's on Mars, life wouldn't have been able to be sustained on our planet. Mankind would not have existed if Earth had been placed somewhere in close to the Martian orbit. The same way, the size of the planet. If the Earth had been the size of Mercury, it would not have kept its atmosphere, and the atmosphere would have dissipated, and life would not have existed on this planet without that atmosphere. If the Earth had been the size of Jupiter, with a crushing weight, life would not have existed on this planet. So we see by that divine design that we were placed in exactly the right place. The average temperature on the planet is exactly what it was supposed to be. The winds, the fact that we have a moon that causes the seasons, or that causes, excuse me, not the seasons, but the tidal waves, the tides, plays a very intricate role in the fact that this planet is able to sustain life. So with each one of these little pieces of information declares that divine knowledge, that divine design for this planet. So by this, by looking just at the universe, it declares, the knowledge of God. So by that is one of the ways that phrase, "Thy word is settled in heaven." That's one aspect of that phrase. And I want to again read what the psalmist said in Psalms 19, 1 through 4. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Amen. So see, even if you didn't have a Bible, just by looking at the nature that's around you, it declares that there is a great creator of the universe. And to believe anything else requires an enormous amount of faith on your part, that this was just randomly came together in absolute, utter perfection. If the tilt of the earth, if the earth wasn't tilted a certain way, there would be no seasons. If it was bigger, the weight would be too great, and we would be crushed. If the size of the earth was smaller, we wouldn't have been able to retain our atmosphere. And we see how that the general nature declares the glory of God and declares His existence. Now I want to stop for a minute and consider the phrase in the 90th verse, "The earth and it abideth." Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. And we talk often about the coming day of the Lord and all of this. And when we talk about this, sometimes we'll give the impression that the earth's going to be destroyed. And that's not the case. Ecclesiastes 1:4, one generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. We find in Psalms 104:5, who laid the foundation of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. And then 2 Peter 3:7 through, we'll just read on down in that, but 2 Peter 3rd chapter, starting at the 7th verse. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So, it almost sounds like at times that there's a tension between those two ideas, that the earth is going to abide forever, and on one hand, and then the great coming day of the Lord on the other. And the truth of the matter is this, is that both of those, as is true in all Scripture, both of those concepts are completely true, but you got to balance the two of those two ideas. When the Bible talks about how that the earth will abide forever, It is talking about how, in the same sense that the earth was kept abiding after the great flood, and the flood totally changed the surface and the characteristics of the earth and the civilization and everything else. That was totally, I mean, the world prior to the great flood was completely different than the world that was after the great flood. I mean, even the the longevity of the people prior to the great flood was drastically different. If you'll notice, prior to the flood, how much longer people lived. Now, these huge years that these people lived until the flood happened, and then the life expectancy of humans began to quickly drop down to things that are more in keeping with what we are used to now. And even how that it seems that Noah was even surprised when things began to ferment after the flood. You know, you even can sort of read that into the scripture. So the world that was after the flood was drastically different than the world that was before the flood. And that's the same way as the coming day of the Lord. The world that is coming is drastically different than the world that exists now. But it will still be abiding. It just will be different. So that's what's mean by those two different ideas that you read into the scriptures. I want to drop down to the 96th verse and consider something. That another one of these, it may seem just a little bit confusing if we don't. Well, let's break it down. 96th verse, I have seen an end of all perfection. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Now, I want to clarify something. And see, the English language, you know, of course, as we've mentioned, and I'm sure you all know, the Bible was not written in English. I mean, it was written in Hebrew and Greek and in places and a little bit of Aramaic. That was the original language. Been even some people have even thought, and they may be right about it, that Matthew may have actually been written originally in Hebrew and then translated into Greek by. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there. But the Bible was not originally written in English, and the English that King James uses is very archaic English. So some of the words that when you read them, they do not mean what you think they mean. And perfection is probably the best example I know of that. Now, when we use the word perfect and perfection in the modern English tongue, we mean something is flawless, that it doesn't have any defects. It is without defect. Now, the psalmist is not saying, he's not using perfection in that sense. See, when he says, I have seen an end of all perfection, he was not saying, I have seen an end of all without defect thing. What he was saying is, he was using the Hebrew word tiklah, which means completeness. And he was saying that he has seen the end of the most complete versions of human reasoning and devices. That's what he's seen the end of. He has taken and went through the current scope of human knowledge and reasoning that was available in his time. He has taken it and looked at it to its completeness. And but thy commandment is exceeding broad. What I think he means in that is that he is stating that he has studied the ways of man, and God's commandments go way beyond any kind of reasoning and rationale of man. You know, God gave the same idea to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 55, starting in the 8th verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word go be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So see, that's what Isaiah was saying. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's thoughts higher than our thoughts, and his ways higher than our ways. And even at our best, if you take our most complete ideas, the very best that we have to offer, the very best tools at our disposal, are totally inadequate to explain things to the level that God's Word does. Let's go on to the second section we're going to take study tonight, and that was the meme section, starting in the 97th verse. Oh how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I kept thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words for my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I want to stop and consider the 98th verse. Thou, through thy commandments, had made me wiser than mine enemies. And I know that we do understand that Satan is a powerful entity, and that he has got craftiness and methods and guile and these kind of things to try to trap us. But don't try to attribute to Satan this absolute knowledge. Paul was talking to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, starting in the 8th verse, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, which we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. So see, God, there is a certain level of insanity to the Lucifer, to Satan. And yes, he does have craft and guile, but we should not lose hope, because God is so much wiser than Satan. And there is that level of insanity. And also, too, there is also a concept of is that doing the right things does mean that you're going to eventually have the victory. Now, sometimes it's even in the natural, in this life. Proverbs 11:29 says that he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be the servant to the wise of heart. And oftentimes that does happen. But eventually, we will inherit the earth. Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I want to drop down quickly to the 100th verse. Understand more than the ancients, because I have kept thy precepts. The psalmist was saying he understood more than the ancients because he kept thy precepts. And that's something we can all say. Some of the greatest philosophers and college professors, that we understand more than they do because we believe the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:19 says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I just want to say how thankful I am I'm one of these foolish ones. Drop down to the 104th verse, where the phrase is, therefore I hate every false way. Every false way. You know, the book of Genesis, after man was thrown out of the garden, God said in Genesis 3:24, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And we see that when Jesus came in John 14:6, he said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So see, that way to the tree of life is blocked every way except for the way that Jesus purchased at the cross. And the way he was talking about when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessings upon each and every one that's listening to the program tonight. We pray your blessings upon each and every church that's represented among our listening audience. And we pray that you would just give them good services tonight. In your precious Son Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, this is Donnie Bryson, and if you want to get in touch with us, let me give you our contact information once again. You may call us at 423-544-0623. You may write us, Gospel Mailbox, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee 37409. Or you can contact me on the internet, www.gospelmailbox.org. This has been the Gospel Mailbox, where we bring Christ's love letter to you.